It's time, Alex, for That's Tough or That's Enough. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff this week. Now, first up, we have something new, Alex, that has never happened before.
Really?
Number one and number two, preseason AP Top 25. Number one being Texas and number two being Penn State, for the first time in a long time, have both dropped majorly out of the top 25 rankings at this point in the season. And it comes after Texas's loss to Florida and Penn State's unranked loss to UCLA. And I'm going to go first, and I'm going to dissect this, and I'm going to start here. I have a lot to say, Alex, about this UCLA and Penn State game. And first, I want to say I'm a huge fan of Jerry Neuheisel. If Jerry Neuheisel walked up to me and said, "Hey, man, what are you doing later?" I would look at him and say, "Me and my wife are going to have dinner with you because you're just a guy." You can't explain it, but you just look at the guy and like the guy. He's just likable up front. But then he has this just not caring personality about him. Like, okay. And he's funny, though. He's a player's guy. He goes in, gets handed this job. UCLA's a dumpster fire. Haven't won a game all year. But, oh, guess who came to town last week, Alex? To the Bruins. The Rose Bowl.
Who?
Who came to town? James Franklin at Penn State. And rumor has it, Alex, James Franklin was so tired of everyone saying he loses the big games, he decided to stop messing around in those types of games and to mess around in a non-big game and drop it and prove everyone wrong. He's now losing the games that he should never even come close to losing. UCLA took down Penn State. And honestly, Alex, this looks worse for Penn State than it does good for UCLA. I am a huge Penn State fan. I actually have family in Pennsylvania, so shout out to anyone that might be listening close to there. However, Penn State fans are probably fed up with it, watching it. James Franklin is that guy that we've said it before, he can restore a program, but he can't take it to the next level. He can't add on to it. And that's he did the same thing at Vanderbilt. You're seeing Clark Lee come in and really do an outstanding job. Granted, they lost to Alabama. But this is a game that you should never even come close to losing. I've had enough of this year's Penn State team, and I've had enough of James Franklin. That's our point one. I'll let you talk about Penn State, and then we'll each dissect Texas, since we're actually doing great in time constraints today, which is rare for my voice and Alex's. We tend to ramble, so we're doing good. So, Alex, I'll let you fire away.
James Franklin, what are you doing? That's the nicest way I can put it. We lose to Oregon last week, and that's a good loss. That was going to be a battle regardless who won or lost that game. That was going to be a good loss. But then you follow it up with losing to one of the worst programs in the country in UCLA, who fired their head coach, fired their offensive coordinator, and fired their defensive coordinator. Jerry Neuheisel admitted he had no idea how to use the headset to communicate with Nico.
Brutal honesty. It's beautiful.
No idea. And you still got beat by him. You go out and you get Jim Knowles from Ohio State, and Jim Knowles' defense couldn't stop an offense that looked putrid for the first four games of the season. You're just flushing money down the toilet. James Franklin continually has lost the big games, but like you said, KJ, he decided to prove everyone wrong and go lose the game he's supposed to win against an 0-4 UCLA team who has a completely new coaching staff leading the way, a quarterback that couldn't ever win at the SEC level, outside of beating Alabama last year, but that, I don't really credit him with that. Jalen Miller cost us that game. I digress. But you lose to him, and you lose to a defense that couldn't stop anything. It's time for James Franklin to go. I've had enough of his tenure at Penn State. There'll be some job openings for him, and you can get a better coach than James Franklin to push you over that hump, because right now you're sitting at the hump, and you just keep rolling back down the hill every time you get up to that point.
Yeah, and you mentioned rolling down the hill. They're not going anywhere, and Penn State under James Franklin is like a Tesla with no battery. It looks great until it's time to actually go somewhere.
Awful, awful, awful.
Just downright putrid. And we got a two-parter for this one, and that's why I love doing these tougher enough segments, Alex. We can customize them and make it really, really good for you guys. And if you're listening and have any input, feel free to, you know, let us know on Facebook what you think. Let us know on YouTube in the comments what you think. Any of the platforms, we're excited to be bringing this to you again, by the way. The next point is Texas. Texas, 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 where they say everything's bigger except for the quarterback's arm. I have absolutely had enough of Quinn Ewers should come back, because I've had enough of Arch Manning. I'm sure Steve Sarkisian is somewhere on the sideline trying to see if there's any possible way that Quinn Ewers can come back, because this is getting bad. You talked about missing layups earlier, but I'm putting this on Steve Sarkisian too, because as I criticized Hugh Freeze for allowing the offensive line coach to not follow up his word on a player not doing well, you recruit you're supposed to recruit 2 to 3 quarterbacks every recruiting cycle, even if they're not blue chip guys. Get another backup locker room guy for depth. You're supposed to do that as a football team, but they're going to be on just good enough level most times to execute a basic offense. If you've got that, why haven't you trotted him out there? It can't look a whole lot worse than Arch Manning underthrowing 3-yard passes and forcing it into triple coverage and just firing it for whoever's going the coolest route down the field, a la Peyton Thorne. Has he been watching film on him? Who knows? I've had enough of this year's Texas team. Steve Sarkisian is still probably in good graces for the season that he had last year, but he needs to start winning football games, or he's going to have some Longhorn fans, instead of saying hook 'em horns, they're going to be trying to hook him out of Texas and on to somewhere else, because it's just not been good this year. They were supposed to run the table. They were supposed to dominate. And I gave Florida major props earlier, and I'm not going to go back on that now. They had a great game against them. But Florida's offense at times actually really pushed Texas around. And just from what you have on your football team, that shouldn't happen. I've had enough of Texas. I'm so glad that they dropped as far as they did, because, and not a hater on Texas, but more so I'm a believer in giving other teams rewards alongside with that. There's two parts of that: moving other teams up when they win and teams down when they lose, when they're not supposed to lose. I was glad to see that that happened. I've had enough of both of these teams, Texas and Penn State. I think Steve Sarkisian keeps his job. I've also had enough of James Franklin. Double negative for Penn State. And man, somebody look for Arch Manning's arm.
If Arch Manning's last name was Arch Smith or Arch Johnson or something else, it wasn't Arch Manning, he wasn't related to Peyton and Eli Manning and Archie Manning, and he had been playing the way he's been playing, would he still be the starting quarterback at Texas? Do you truly believe he'd still be trotting out there against Florida last week and even this week against Oklahoma? No. But because his name's Arch Manning and Steve Sarkisian has invested everything into Arch Manning, the backup quarterbacks for Texas, your main backup is the former starter at Troy. That's nothing to take away from Troy, but going from Troy to being a starting quarterback in the SEC is a whole different animal. And the backups behind him, you have a redshirt freshman, and you have true freshman KJ Lacy, who played here in Alabama. Do you have enough talent behind him to say, okay, well, if we bench Arch, we're going to be a little bit better with Matthew Caldwell at quarterback or KJ Lacy at quarterback? Obviously, he doesn't have that much confidence in them. That's where you have teams like Alabama and even Auburn, where you see your starting quarterback, and while Ty Simpson's probably playing the best of any quarterback in the country outside of Dante Moore, if he goes down with an injury, there's going to be a drop-off, but is it going to be to the point where Alabama can't win a football game with either Austin Mack or Keylon Russell? No. But if you look at Texas, does Matthew Caldwell win you football games where Arch Manning can't? I don't think so. Arch Manning, while he has his moments and he struggles, a lot of that has to do with not only the stuff that's been called for him by Steve Sarkisian, but the offensive line. Last week against Florida, he was pressured on 59.5% of his dropbacks, and just one other Power 4 quarterback has faced higher rate of pressure all season. Texas managed 52 yards on 26 rushing attempts, and Arch Manning was sacked 6 times, and Florida had 7 tackles for loss. So it's not only Arch Manning struggling, but the entire offense is struggling. You're not getting him any help. It's almost like Jackson Arnold at Auburn. You're putting him in situations to not succeed.
Yep, because the offensive line couldn't block a statue if they had Velcro on their gloves.
I believe in Sark as a head coach. He's done it. But it's time to realize that maybe Arch Manning is not the answer, and you need to figure out something else. And quickly, if you're going to salvage this season, either Arch Manning needs to get his head screwed on right, you need to get players that can protect him, or you need to move on and put someone else in at quarterback.
I agree. I agree 100%. I'm with you on both of those takes.
And one more thing. Can we abolish the AP poll? It means absolutely nothing. Number one and number two, not ranked anymore. They were ranked last week even though they didn't have a top 25 win. The AP poll is meaningless to me, to numerous people out there.
The Associated Press just wants to have their name on it. That's all it is.
And it's been exposed, the voter, how they vote and how uneducated some of them are when it comes to voting, just saying, okay, well, I heard about this. I my friend told me about this. I'm picking favorite teams here and there.
It's trends.
It's just trends. There's no reason to have an AP poll. Let's just have no numbers by teams' names. It makes football a lot more fun and a lot more entertaining. But guess what? The reason they do it is because they can go early part of the season. Number one, Texas, takes on number three, Ohio State. That's the reason. They can advertise that. It's all an advertising thing. Let's just abolish the AP poll and move to where it's just the College Football Playoff Committee poll. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, that's a really reasonable suggestion, man. You'd think that they'd at least consider half of that, and it's
too easy.
It makes too much sense, and it doesn't make enough money. So on to the next, we have the Baltimore Ravens are our next topic, Alex. And Lamar Jackson fans, you better hold your ears because this isn't going to be a good one. They are officially 1-4. And tied for last with the Cleveland Browns in their division. Have you seen enough, or can John Harbaugh make this team a tough out again? I'll let you go first on this one.
John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl, so he has the pedigree, but it's getting to the point, is John Harbaugh hindering this team getting better? Because you have an MVP-level quarterback in Lamar Jackson, and you have failed to reach the mountaintop time and time again. Now, you've had to play guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in that conference, but you've continually failed to get over the hump, and drafting hasn't helped either. You haven't gotten any help at the receiver position. Zay Flowers has been the lone guy to step up. Rashad Bateman at the receiver position is a bust. You bring in 33-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, and he's talented, but he's 33 years old. Mark Andrews has fallen off a cliff. I'm not sure where he went. Isaiah Likely has shown flashes, but he's dealing with an injury. Outside of that, what help do you have for Lamar Jackson? Derrick Henry's on the wrong side of 30. He's shown regression this year, fumbling the football and really struggling to break some tackles here and there. Besides, outside of him, Keaton Mitchell and Justice Hill, they're not great running backs. You don't have Lamar Jackson a lot of help, and that's not even talking about the offensive line, which has been one of the worst in the NFL to start this season. The defense, I'm not even sure if they have a defense on the football field, or they just decide to let the 11 players for the opposing team just play pick-up ball and just run against nothing. Practice shell drills or something. They have the 31st ranked defense. They have given up 37 and 44 points through the first four games. 41, 38, 37, and 44 through their four losses. The 31st ranked defense, Zach Ward, defensive coordinator, if anything, it's time to cut the cord with him. It's time for him to go. You have talent on that defense. Some of it's injured with Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton and Marlon Humphrey. But you got to help your offense out. You can't have Lamar Jackson scoring 40 points and then 30 points and 20 points and losing a football game the way they've lost it, especially the first two with 40 points and 30 points in their first two games of the season. Have to help him out. John Harbaugh, I think he's becoming a hindrance a little bit, but it's another situation. If you fire John Harbaugh, who are you going to bring in that's going to make this team any better? That's the question I have for the Ravens front office and Ravens fans if you're calling for this guy's job. Now, Zachary Orr, the defensive coordinator, you can get a replacement for him. You can't get any worse. 31st ranked defense, giving up points, costing your team's games.
Yeah. One guy that I think you could go after if you're a Baltimore Raven fan would be D'Amico Ryans of the Houston Texans. But you got a point right here. And I'm going to add something, too, with the Ravens. And it's not so much of to do with the coach. You kind of alluded to it a little bit, and I'm going to further it as the draft selections. It's been a few busts here and there, and you've had real opportunities at times to get consistent help, and it's giving vibes of the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers. Especially,
don't get me started with Carolina Panthers. We'll be here forever.
Me and you could talk about that a long time with how Cam Newton would have multiple titles if his organization would have drafted him offensive lineman, and other than Taylor Moton. And Taylor Moton is
bad.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. But, you know, and then the Texans, you know, they made a terrible trade at the top of DeAndre Hopkins' prime. They said, oh, we want a franchise running back. You go and get a one-year wonder in David Johnson from the Cardinals and say, we're going to give you DeAndre Hopkins at his best and a third-round pick for that running back. And he asked me what David Johnson's doing right now. I couldn't tell you because he ain't on a roster. So you have this dynamic of teams just making really, really, really bad trade and draft decisions. Look, it's not likely that you're going to get big free agency in small market teams. Baltimore is a small market team. You have to accept the fact that you're going to have to win that draft and you're going to have to develop what you get. And if you trade, it better not be dumb. You better get something in return of close to equal value as an asset. And right now, the GM isn't doing any of that. So really, if there's enough of anyone, it's the GM. I think Harbaugh's job is okay for now. For the Ravens this season, the AFC is just a monster. I mean, Mahomes and the Chiefs are a little bit down right now, but still going to be tough if they get in the playoffs. You talk about the Bengals earlier with Joe Burrow injured right now, so there's some help there. But still, you have Josh Allen. You have quarterbacks, younger quarterbacks that are playing good in the AFC. It's a tough conference, and I just don't think the Ravens have a shot at the playoffs this year if what we've seen continues.
It's important to note they still do have they're still the betting favorites to win their division. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers are leading it right now. You know, there's no telling what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. Joe Burrow with the Bengals is down with an injury, and the Browns, I don't know what direction their franchise is going in. They trade Joe Flacco. They're starting Dylan Gabriel. Their defense is great, but their offense struggles. They gave up a last-second touchdown to Minnesota last week. So the division's wide open. It's not like they're in a division where you see two teams above them that's like, the way the Ravens are playing right now, they have zero chance. But the way the teams in front of the Ravens are playing right now and the talent the Ravens have that comes back healthy, the Ravens can still make the playoffs.